Blog Talk Radio.
Cut the music up. A little louder. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks trying to steal your heart. Never really had luck. Couldn't ever figure out how to love. Didn't last forever. Now you in a corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here. Now you over there. It's hard not to stare. The way you're moving your body like you never had a love. Never had a love.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to week 12 of the AFL regular season. I'm Evan Vladim, and we actually have an exciting week 12.
Right now.
And you know what? We're broadcasting live, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but we're live on Ustream as well.
We are live on Ustream, so follow whatever you're using.
I'm Evan Vladim, and joining me today is BJ Picard. BJ, how are you?
Tremendous, Evan. How are you?
I'm all right. A busy Friday in the AFL League office here
Very
in Chicago,
busy.
Illinois.
Very busy Friday. Where did the time go?
We have three press releases we're putting out today.
Yeah, we do. And there's going to be a lot of news coming out tonight. So be sure to tune in to Net 10 Arena Football Friday on NFL Network for a whole bunch of news.
And we have quite a matchup tonight on NFL Network. We have the Jacksonville Sharks at the Orlando Predators. And this one will be something to watch. So many storylines in this game.
Yeah, a ton of storylines. You got the article that just came out on arenafootball.com about the owners of Orlando and Jacksonville, the Bushy brothers. Also, some quarterbacks that are familiar with each other's teams.
So you have Chris Leak, who is now the starting quarterback for the Orlando Predators. Many of you know he started game one for the Jacksonville Sharks. Game two wasn't a starter. So he was a bit disgruntled. A few weeks later, he was traded to Orlando, and now he's the team starter. But that's not all. Colin Drafts.
He was the starter in Orlando to begin the season, and now he's going to be the backup for Bernard Morris in Jacksonville.
And like BJ said, an interesting story posted to arenafootball.com. Check it out. It features one of the main storylines tonight. You have two owners, two brothers, Jeff Bushy of the Jacksonville Sharks taking on his brother, Brett Bushy, with the Orlando Predators.
Right. And there's no love lost between the cities and fans of Orlando and Jacksonville either. So regardless of the records, it's going to be a heated contest, very hostile environment, and definitely one to tune into on NFL Network tonight.
I actually spoke with both Brett and Jeff in a conference call this week, and it was hilarious. I had both of them on at the same time, and these guys are going back and forth, bickering with each other. And actually, here's something that Brett told me about the city of Jacksonville.
What do you think about Jacksonville? What are your thoughts about Jacksonville as a city?
You know, I mean, and a lot of people think this is, like, made up. I just don't like it when I go down there. We go down there.
So obviously, Brett hates Jacksonville.
Doesn't like to go down there, apparently.
And it was funny because last year, both of them made a billboard before these matchups. We all remember the one in Jacksonville that Brett put up that said it referred to Jacksonville fans as rednecks.
Yep.
And then a few weeks before their next matchup, they had one in Orlando where you could tweet at the billboard, and your tweets were actually on the billboard. That was taken down within 6 days. But
Yeah, and one could imagine why. But passionate fans down there in Florida.
Oh, definitely. But this one is something to watch. Be sure you tune in tonight on NFL Network. That kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Like we said, we had a crazy week 11. We saw some upsets in the Arena Football League. And the power rankings were a bit shaken up. We have a new number one in the AFL V Power Rankings.
new number one in the power rankings and in the coaches poll, Arizona Rattlers. Very interesting because they're technically second in the division, in the West Division, behind San Jose because of the two head-to-head losses earlier this year. But they're number one in both the power rankings and the coaches poll. So a very tight race out in the West.
The Rattlers are sitting in at 7-3 after defeating the Utah Blaze 86-70 last week, and the Blaze now are at 6-4. And in that game, Nick Davila tied an AFL record for touchdown passes in a single game with 11 passing scores. And Nick Davila, I mean, this kid can get it done year in and year out. And now he's starting to play like we saw last year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with 11 touchdown passes, he joins a group that is very elite. Only three other quarterbacks have done it. And that's, it's hard to do. Even against air, it's hard to throw 11 touchdown passes in a game. But, you know, he did it against the Utah Blaze. And ironically, Tommy Grady was one of the other three quarterbacks in AFL history to pass for 11 touchdowns. Did that 2 weeks ago. So pretty cool.
And we saw a jump with the San Antonio Talons, Aaron Garcia's San Antonio Talons. They moved up from fourth to second place now in the power rankings. And so now you got number one, number two. You have Nick Davila versus Aaron Garcia. And in many remember, it's the matchup of last year's Arena Bowl, which was Davila versus Garcia. And now, obviously, Garcia with the San Antonio Talons. So it's good to see Aaron Garcia bringing his team back, you know, back in the top spot or the second spot in the power rankings.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aaron Garcia got his first win over the Sabercats since 2004, which is an impressive feat. And what's even more impressive about the Talons this year is their top three receivers, Jomo Wilson, Jason Willis, Robert Quiroga, they haven't been on the field together at the same time all year. So that's something to really keep your eyes on.
No, it is. And going down the power rankings, we have the San Jose Sabercats coming in at number three. Last week, they were number one, so we saw that drop after the loss last week. And we also saw the Cleveland Gladiators jump ahead of the Philadelphia Soul to fourth, and the Philadelphia Soul are fifth. And like we said, we saw an upset with Philadelphia Soul.
Yeah, and they were upset because of records. It was an upset, but that Spokane Shock team, that's a good team, and they're on fire recently. Terrence Sanders, I don't know if there's anybody hotter in the AFL right now than Terrence Sanders is, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, it's so tough in this league to go across the country and play in a different time zone, especially the Philadelphia to Spokane trip. But Philadelphia, they got a lot to play for this weekend. Cleveland jumping ahead of them in the power rankings. They're playing Cleveland in week 12. That's for the division, really.
It's going to be a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great matchup, and I'm excited to see how this week unfolds. And, you know, expect to see some change. This is a very pivotal week in arena football. The playoff race is starting to pan out. We have a lot of teams that are closely contested. And we're going to start, these tiebreakers are going to start coming into play. So this is a very important week in the AFL.
Definitely. And especially for a team like Cleveland or a team like Philadelphia. You remember back in week four, Cleveland beat Philadelphia, handed them the first loss of the year. And Philadelphia, they started off the year with eight consecutive 60-plus point victories, or not victories, but 60-plus point games. They haven't done it in the last 2 weeks. They failed to record 60. So this will be a big game in the East. And like you said, across the league, as the playoff picture is starting to shape up, every game seems to be a must-win.
An absolutely every game is a must-win coming down to it, coming down to the wire, as we only have 8 weeks remaining in the regular season, and the 2012 season has just flew by.
Yeah, it really has gone fast, hasn't it?
No, it really has. It's sitting here, week 12.
Yeah.
Fans, we'd love for you to chime in. Please give us a call. Our number that you can reach us is 347-324-3225. Again, 347-324-3225. We would love to hear your thoughts on everything that's going on in the Arena Football League, the Power Poll, this week's game. Give us a call. Chime in. We want to hear you.
We had some great callers last week. It was fun to talk to you guys. So definitely give us a call, and we'd love to chat Arena Football.
We'll move on to Week 11 awards, and like we said, it was a big week for Maurice Purifoy in the Arizona Rattlers. He had 10 catches for 196 yards and 7 touchdowns. He was responsible for 42 of the Rattlers' 86 points in their win to the Utah Blaze last week, and obviously with that, he was awarded the Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week award.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Nick Davila earlier, but Maurice Purifoy is the guy who caught most of the touchdown passes. 7 touchdowns, ties a franchise record, 42 points, ties another franchise record. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better arena football receiver this season than Maurice Purifoy. And you look on the other side of the ball, you know, they got Kerry Reed. So you take away one option, they still got another one. That Arizona team is going to be tough going down the stretch.
Last week I was on the J.C. Neal bandwagon. I asked the question, how hot is he? Somebody needs to call 911 right now. Somebody needs to call 911 because Terrence Sanders is on fire. And Terrence Sanders came in this week winning the Riddell Defensive Player of the Week award. His second straight week winning the award, he had a franchise record of 3 interceptions in Week 11.
Yeah, and he also became the single-season franchise record holder for interceptions. I think he's got 8 thus far this season. Unbelievable performance again. It's the third time in 4 weeks that he's recorded at least 2 picks in a game. You just don't see that. So that's such an impressive accomplishment. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that's playing better football right now than Terrence Sanders.
So last year with the Georgia Force, you had Maurice Purifoy and C.J. Johnson on the same team. You also had Larry Shipp. Obviously, you had Purifoy winning the Rookie of the Year award. They still have wide receivers in Georgia that you got to look out for. And C.J. Johnson came in last week, and he was awarded the JLS Iron Man of the Week award.
He was. He had 372 all-purpose yards. That's insane. It's unbelievable.
That's the world.
Yeah.
We had Jeremy Kelliam coming in as the winner of the Cutter's Catch of the Week award for an interception he made in the fourth quarter to preserve that 68-61 victory over the Orlando Predators last week. Obviously, the big win for the Voodoo.
Yep. A huge interception. It was reviewed. If you saw it on NFL Network, it bounced off a receiver, bounced off the wall. Kelliam caught it between his legs, and it never touched the ground. So an impressive catch by Jeremy Kelliam to preserve the New Orleans victory against Orlando. And boy, we talked about that Orlando team needing a win tonight, but three games this year, they have had 20-point leads and they've lost them. And that's tough. That's tough.
Exactly. Very tough. It's very tough for a team, and the Predators now sitting in at 1-8.
19 straight seasons they've been to the playoffs. Serious jeopardy this year.
Serious jeopardy, and we all remember last season, 10-8 record, following the season.
Got rid of the coach.
Got rid of Pat O'Hara.
Yeah.
So.
And you got to believe that win felt pretty good for Coach O'Hara last weekend.
Oh, definitely. He's coming back against a team that got rid of him. They released him, and he wanted that win. I mean, he played it down, and, you know, good for Pat.
Yeah.
Good for Pat, and he's doing well in New Orleans. I mean, he put that team together, struggling a bit, but they're showing signs.
They're still right in the race with Georgia and Tampa Bay. So, I mean, they could easily make the playoffs if they play up to their potential the second half of the season.
And we'd love to hear calls again, 347-324-3225. Call in. As we talk about coaching changes, we saw one this week with the Pittsburgh Power.
Right.
Chris Siegfried was released by the team, and they brought their defensive coordinator in, Derek Stingley, to serve now as their interim head coach.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a tough situation for Siegfried to be in. Stingley will assume the head coaching duties. He has previous head coaching experience before, most recently with New Orleans last year. New Orleans fans may remember he was 1-11 as head coach of the team, but that Pittsburgh Power team is not devoid of talent. There's certainly talent there. P.J. Barry is one of the most electrifying players in the league. Mike Washington, one of the best young receivers in the league. Brian Randall has certainly had his ups and downs, but he's shown promise at some points. So there's talent there. Not to mention Chris LaFleur, who's totally overlooked because of the team's record, but Chris LaFleur is one of the best defensive backs in arena football. And a lot of people may not know that, but he certainly is. So Pittsburgh, you know, they needed to make a change. Mike Tomczak, former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, played a bunch of years in the NFL, is going to come on to do some offensive coordinator work. We'll see what happens with him. But Pittsburgh felt like they needed to make a change, and they did.
And we'll see if that bodes well for the team, and they need that out there. Team that's struggling, they have a bye week, so they'll take their time this week.
Absolutely.
They'll look at film. They'll see what the problem is and how they can fix that, and we'll see how they come out in week 13. Nick Davila coming in as the AFL Playmaker of the Week with 11 touchdown passes, as we mentioned before. The Spalding Highlight of the Week, we saw
Rendrick Taylor.
And he's the first player in Sharks franchise history to rush more than 50 yards in a single game.
Yeah, and he had a big 31-yard touchdown run that set up a lot of those yards there. But cool accomplishment for Rendrick Taylor, just back from IR, so it's good to see him doing well.
And the National Guard MVP.
Fan vote.
For week 11, Kansas City Command's Matt Gutierrez. And Matt and Command fans have to be excited. Not only did he win that award, he won the game. And it was the Kansas City Command's first win.
Yeah. Well, you get your first win, you get an award.
Apparently. I know we questioned week in, week out, will the Kansas City Command get a win? Will they find a win this season? After a couple weeks, I was kind of doubting it. So I'm actually happy they came out with that win. And the franchise, they're looking up. They have a lot of things to look forward to. Like we said, Eddie Kennison joining that team a couple weeks ago. You got now Matt Gutierrez starting to play some good ball. So we'll see if the Kansas City Command can keep it rolling.
Yeah, and I mean, they have some talent on that team, too. They've made some changes. They brought in Armand Robinson, Shea Hodges, receiver. And that defense is pretty good with Tommy Chavis, Bradley Chavez playing linebacker, Dyrell Briggs, and also Sergio Gillum and J.C. Neal in the secondary. So they've got some talent.
We named the number 14th player in AFL history as voted upon by the Silver Anniversary Committee. Like we said, we have a very rich list on the Silver Anniversary Committee, which is former league executives, journalists, and current AFL coaches. So very credible list. And the number 14th player in AFL history is John Corker.
John Corker, yeah. And this selection was met with a little bit of, I don't want to say head-scratching, because obviously Corker is a Hall of Fame player, no doubt about it, 2002 inductee. But you look back in 2006, he was the 19th greatest player in AFL history, as voted on by the AFL Historical Committee. This year he comes in 14th, ahead of Dwayne Dixon, who was number 10 in 2006, and, of course, Kurt Warner came in at 16. But John Corker had an incredible career in the AFL, 7-year vet, 57 career tackles, 20 career sacks, won a couple of championships with the Detroit Drive, started his career in the 88 when the Detroit Drive came to the league, was part of that dynasty, was a member of the 10th anniversary team, and like I said earlier, a 2002 Hall of Fame inductee. He was the original lineman of the year, very first AFL lineman of the year, 1991. So certainly an honor that's due to John Corker. He was the Big 8 Defensive Player of the Year back in 1978 with Oklahoma State. Great football player, great AFL player, great ambassador for linemen in the league. And it was cool to see him get that honor. I know people have had their opinions about it, where he belongs, where other people belong. And we're going to hear all season about where Mark Greed belongs. 18th on the list was way too low for some people. But bear in mind, like Evan said, you know, these are people that are voting on this, that they know arena football. And it's not, just so fans are aware, it's not that the committee gets together and deliberates. This is by vote. So the numbers, the ballots, everything adds up. So that's why maybe you're seeing some differences in where you might rank people and where they rank people, and maybe some differences between the lists of top 25 quarterbacks and top 25 receivers.
You're right. We're coming out with the top 25 wide receivers in AFL history. We're going to be rolling that out throughout next week, and another list by the Silver Anniversary Committee, and we know how much debate that caused when we announced the top 25 quarterbacks, so it should be interesting. But that's not the only thing that's exciting about the top 25 wide receivers that are coming out this week. We actually have a contest on tap for the fans that can predict the top five wide receivers in this list. So if you can guess the top five wide receivers in AFL history, you have an opportunity to win an AFL 25 Silver Anniversary Magazine, a copy of Kurt Warner's Arena Football Unleashed PlayStation video game. That's not it.
That's not it.
That's not all. Why don't we throw in a Silver Anniversary AFL football? So predict the top five list of wide receivers that are going to be coming out next week and send your answers to contest@arenafootball.com. We'll have more details about that contest later on tonight on arenafootball.com, and you'll also hear some details on NFL Network regarding this contest. So tune in and make sure you stay tuned to arenafootball.com for more details and how you can enter to win some great items.
That's a pretty cool contest. It's three very, very cool prizes, I'd say. But that's a tough list to compile, the top 25 receivers. And when the Silver Anniversary Committee voted on this, it was based solely on receivers. Not receivers and defensive backs, receivers and linemen, just based solely on a player's ability as a wide receiver. So, you know, the Iron Men still are available to be voted on, but it's based solely on offensive specialist capabilities.
I want these items.
Yeah.
Can I enter?
I don't think we're eligible, but okay. Yeah, they're pretty cool items.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll leave it to everybody out there listening and tuning in later on tonight. The contest is for you, so go ahead. Send us your top five wide receivers in AFL history, and you have an opportunity to win some great prizes. Again, if you'd like to talk to us on air, give us a call at 347-324-3225. Again, 347-324-3225. We'll go ahead and move towards this week's matchup.
Excellent.
Week 12. Like we said tonight, the Jacksonville Sharks sitting in at 4-5 against the Orlando Predators at 1-8. The Sharks have the lead in this series.
Yeah, and these two teams, they don't like each other. So it's going to be a ball game.
It's going to be a great ball game and a lot to watch for. Bernard Morris is I love watching this guy. I love watching his quarterback play.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of dual threat quarterbacks in the Arena Football League, but Bernard Morris definitely is. You know, he can get it done through the air with his arm. He can get it done on the ground with his legs.
We got the Arizona Rattlers facing off against the New Orleans Voodoo tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, and I think that matchup is really going to boil down to what Nick Davila and his receivers can do against that good, young New Orleans Voodoo secondary, led by Jeremy Kellum and Marcus Robinson. It's a good secondary in New Orleans. I think it all depends on how much they can control Maurice Purifoy and Nick Davila.
And I agree with that. You got the Milwaukee Mustangs facing off against the Tampa Bay Storm in Tampa on Saturday night. That'll be at 7:30. And for both teams, this is a very evenly matched game. Obviously, the Storm show that with that 5-5 record a bit better than Milwaukee being 3-6. But I think this game is evenly matched. A lot of young players on both teams.
Yeah, you mentioned that 5-5 record, but the Storm are 5-0 at home and 0-5 on the road. This game's in Tampa, and actually it's the first time that Milwaukee's going to travel down to Tampa since July of the year 2000. So pretty cool to see the Mustangs back in Tampa Bay.
And something that people should look at and watch during that game is the play of quarterback, storm quarterback Stephen Wassel.
Well, you think he might be looking at some competition soon?
He might be looking at some competition soon. I do believe so. Nick Hill, whose rights are still owned by the Tampa Bay Storm, he was signed by the Green Bay Packers after last season, participated in rookie minicamp a couple weeks ago. He was with the team, and, you know, he reported to Green Bay Packers camp on April
16th. He was with them for about 5-6 months, yeah.
Yeah, he's with the team, and went to minicamp, went to OTAs, the first day of OTAs. The next day, he was cut from the team, and many people said it was about his arm strength. You know, he's a very accurate quarterback, can make the plays on his feet,
mm-hmm.
and that could be one of those things that could have caused him to be cut from that roster. But we'll see. I mean, like we said, the Storm own his rights, and you gotta believe he still wants to play football. And what a better way to keep that arm loose.
Yeah.
Then go back to the Arena Football League and playing with Tampa Bay Storm.
Well, right, and we'll see if another NFL team wants to take a look at him, because he certainly has the ability. But he'd help anybody in the Arena Football League, because he's a very good quarterback. And that experience with Mike McCarthy and the Packers coaching staff, that's only going to help him.
And the road's not getting any easier for the Philadelphia Soul, who we said lost last week. They're sitting in at 7-3. They will play on Sunday. We have a Sunday matinee for you. My birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Silver anniversary for you, too.
Silver anniversary for me, too. Look at that. So I'll be watching on my birthday. A great game. Birthday present. Philadelphia Soul at the Cleveland Gladiators. And this one should be another good one. The Gladiators have won 3 in a row now.
Yeah. And they're a tough matchup for Philadelphia. So it's going to be a good game.
And it'll come down, I think, to that quarterback play, John Dutton and Dan Radaba. We have in the National Conference the Spokane Shock squaring off against the Iowa Barnstormer. This is going to be a rematch of Week 1, a game that got a bit chippy. We saw Eric Meyer get knocked out of that game.
Yep.
And with quarterback questions looming, no Eric Meyer on IR. They now have Kyle Rowley back on that Spokane Shock.
Yeah, in Iowa, they had some quarterback issues last week. I got some flack in my midseason MVP award article about not including J.J. Rattering in the MVP conversation. And after watching that team perform without J.J. last week after he got hurt, I owe you guys an apology, because clearly J.J. Rattering is incredibly valuable to that Iowa Barnstormers team.
And he's valuable. Jesse Schmidt's valuable, who leads the team. You know, it's going to be a game to watch. It'll be a good one. For all you Blog Talk Radio listeners, we're going to be going off the air shortly on Blog Talk Radio, but you can continue listening in on Ustream.tv. Go to the Arena Football League page. This is also being simulcasted on ArenaFootball.tv.
Absolutely.
So tune in. We'll also move towards the next game on the lineup. Tomorrow night, Saturday, May 26th, the Chicago Rush sitting in at 6-3 at the San Jose SaberCats, 7-3, who that's another team coming off a loss last week.
And Chicago does not typically play well on the road. You got to believe San Jose is going to be real amped up after last week's performance against San Antonio. So Chicago best bring their A game, because they're in a tight race, too, in the Central Division. They got to keep up with San Antonio.
They absolutely do. Then on that, we have the San Antonio Talons sitting at 7-3, number 2 in the power rankings. And they're facing off against the Utah Blaze, another outstanding matchup, major playoff implications. That one will kick off at 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night. The Talons have won 4 straight. The Blaze dropped 2.
Blaze got to win, not just to keep track with Arizona and San Jose, but to keep ahead of Spokane, who's right behind him at 5-4.
Now, Tommy Grady, he leads the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. So, you got Aaron Lesway out there. What's going on out there in Utah? I mean, they started off so strong. And now they dropped the last two games. Is this 18-game schedule? Obviously, 18-game schedule has to take a beating on your body.
It does, but it's 18 games for everybody. So Utah is they've always had the offensive firepower. What's killing Utah is the play in the secondary, quite honestly. And they made a change in coaching this week to try to supplement that. But they need to step it up in their secondary. They've had some injury issues. You know, they're playing some receivers back there in the secondary. But they need to shore that up because at 6-4, you know, despite the 6-2 start, they've had two straight losses, and Spokane's coming right back up.
And so they brought in Robert Keefe, who we know he has a big-time defender in his playing days in this league, and obviously
yep.
defensive-minded coach. So hopefully he'll get that team turned around And, I mean, he's a fiery guy. You got to expect these players to react positively to keep coming in. And we'll see if he can turn it around out there in Utah. We appreciate you, Ustream viewers watching right now. Ustream.tv, it's our broadcast partner. We signed a 2-year agreement. So we hope you're enjoying the games on Ustream.tv. It's a great, great place. You tune in, we view the games on our live stat viewer, easily accessed. We got the viewer there. We have the live stats going. And that's one of my favorite things to go to on the weekends, sit back, relax, and watch some arena football.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the cool thing about this year is we have the ability to go on the go with our mobile devices because we have AFLLiveStats.com where you can tune in and check out the stats. And you can also, if you have a smartphone, if you have an iPhone or a Droid, you can download the Ustream app and watch from your phone, which is pretty cool. So it's handy for people like us.
Oh, it is.
Always on the go.
Always on the go. You know what's good about being on the go? If you're always on the go, you need a good cell phone provider, and you guys need to check out some Net 10.
How about that for product placement?
Product placement. See, always waiting for that product placement.
Yeah, there you go.
But Net 10 Arena Football Friday, obviously, our partner. And check out some of those Net 10 phones. There's some cool phones and great deals over there at Net 10.
Yeah, definitely.
We have Saturday, May 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We have the Georgia Force at the Kansas City Command. The Command are looking for their second win of the season and their second win in a row. But it's not going to come easy against the Georgia Force, who have won 3, and they have their quarterback now back in action after taking his second week from coming from the NFL, from the Detroit Lions.
Right, R.J. Archer's back, but they also they were also assigned a quarterback from Hawaii last week. So, you know, we'll see what kind of role he plays with the team moving forward, but certainly a proven passer at Hawaii. They're trying to add weapons.
And with that signing, I ask, where is Timmy Chang? If for all you Hawaii fans, where is Timmy Chang? Timmy Chang is actually a graduate assistant now with SMU.
June Jones coached there, right?
Yeah, June Jones coached there. So this happened. This happened 2 days ago. I was wondering where Timmy Chang was, and hey. The graduate assistant at SMU. I know I was a big fan of the Hawaii team then.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
Timmy Chang's at SMU.
And FYI, you know, my mind's always going.
Sure.
So, you know, we do have a fabulous Week 12 for you on our schedule. And anything else you'd like to let our Ustream listeners know, obviously.
Well, I think it's kind of cool to talk about. We got a couple guys signed by the NFL over the last 2 weeks. It's last week now. Rich Ranglin, who's lineman of the year last year with Kansas City Command, has been playing very well with San Jose this year. Got picked up by the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and quite honestly, he's got a good chance to stick there. He's a very good offensive lineman. So he goes back to Kansas City, this time with the NFL. And more recently, Jerry Brown, the San Antonio Talents defensive lineman, was picked up by the Indianapolis Colts. Jerry's having a great season. He's got something like 34 tackles, I think 5 sacks. So real dominant defensive end thus far this year. See how San Antonio bodes without him.
Now, didn't the Colts make a move on the defensive line? I believe they made a move on the defensive line where Jerry Jones now, he could fit right in. And you know, he might make the active roster and see some time early this season.
Well, I mean, we'll see. At this point in the NFL season, you know, teams are looking to expand their roster to 90 guys. So for the most part, teams know who their top 45 are, and they get 53 for the regular season. So they're really looking at who the next 7-8 guys on that roster are going to be, the last 7-8 guys. And for the remainder of the AFL season, I think you're going to see this trend continue where you see guys getting not just mini camps or OTA looks, but some preseason contracts at least. And, you know, we'll see if guys stick. Last year we had Greg Orton go to the Denver Broncos right after Spokane's season, and he was able to stick with the practice squad. Rod Windsor, similar guy. Spent time with the Browns, spent time with the Bills. You know, now he's on the roster. So it's a trend that we're going to see continuing. And the guys like R.J. Archer or Nick Hill who get that opportunity at the next level in the NFL, that's only going to help them. You know, we talked about Nick Hill earlier. Nick Hill is an offensive coordinator in the offseason of the AFL. He coaches football. So not only for his playing career is spending that offseason with Mike McCarthy and the Packers going to help him, but it's also going to set him up for what he does after his playing career is over, which hopefully won't be for several more years. But, you know, coaching is something that a lot of these guys want to get into after their playing careers are done. So getting that experience at the NFL level is so tremendous for furthering their football careers, not just as players, but staying involved in the game as coaches, as executives, all that experience only helps.
And it's the league of opportunity. We say it time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, and I wrote it last week, the AFL is really the only viable option in America where these guys can play. Obviously, you have the CFL in Canada. A lot of guys opt to play there, but they have roster restrictions where they can only have certain quote-unquote imports that can play on their active roster. So, you know, with that being said, the sport of arena football gives these guys so much opportunity because, like we said, you know, right now there's 90-man rosters in the NFL. That's cut down to 53 after training camp.
Exactly. Where else do you go? Where else do you get to play other than Canada? And a lot of guys don't have the luxury of going to Canada either. So I think the Arena Football League is tremendous for that, just providing an opportunity for guys to showcase their abilities. And another guy that we forgot about who is showcasing their abilities, Greg Ellingson.
Ah!
New Orleans Voodoo wide receiver, picked up by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. And Ellingson is another guy who probably wouldn't have been discovered if not for the opportunity to play with the Voodoo on NFL Network, getting that exposure in the mainstream. Tampa Bay noticed him. They brought him in and signed him to a contract. So he'll be competing for a roster spot down in your neck of the woods.
In my neck of the woods in Tampa Bay, and they do have a marvelous set of receivers out there, obviously bringing in Vincent Jackson in the offseason, and they have Mike Williams, they have
Aurelius Ben,
yeah. Sammy Strotter. So we'll see how Ellingson fits. I think he fits into their offense.
He's a good receiver.
I honestly think he fits into their offense. I think he has a very good shot. And you know, potentially maybe he joins. If he doesn't make their active roster, I can see him sitting on their practice squad for quite some time. Obviously, being a player, you never want to sit on the practice squad. But I really think Ellingson's going to have an opportunity to make the active roster, and if not, he'll have to fall back on that practice squad.
Either way, good for him.
No, great for him. And we actually have another NFLer that's going to check out some arena football next Saturday night, June 2nd.
My guy.
Your boy.
Yeah.
Charles Woodson.
He would.
Charles Woodson.
Future Hall of Famer.
Headed out to an arena football game in Milwaukee. He's going to be autographing items, anything you want, bring out to Charles Woodson, and you're going to be at that game. What are you going to get signed by Charles?
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's cool that he's coming out to support the Milwaukee team. You know, they got a tough game next week. They got San Jose, so it'll be a tough matchup for Milwaukee. Another must win, like we talk about all the time. But Cool to see Charles Woodson out supporting another Wisconsin football franchise. And actually last night we saw a local baseball team supporting a local professional football team franchise.
We did, you know, being a Florida guy, I'm not a Cubs fan. So this guy.
I'm a Sox fan for that matter.
Okay, but I can be more of a Sox fan. So with I'd say my new team out here in Chicago,
that makes sense.
We saw Chicago Rush head coach Bob McMillan throw out the opening pitch. And you know who else joined McMillan with the opening pitch? And they're so much alike. These guys are so much alike. And I think they may have had some conversations about a record together or putting out some songs.
Coach Mack can throw it down.
Coach Mack can throw it down. He threw out the opening pitch with Snoop Dogg. So the two exchanged words before the pitch and after the pitch. And Snoop Dogg does have an interest in the arena football or in the indoor game,
yeah.
In the sport. He actually is involved with a women's football league that plays indoors. So they discussed the arena football league. And then
they talked strategy.
I'm sure Snoop Dogg was like, hey, I need to find a win from one of the best fullbacks ever to play.
Definitely.
The best fullback to ever play the arena football game. And Bob McMillan, so
future Hall of Famer there.
Future Hall of Famer, yes, and that's another thing we actually put out this week. We put out our ballots, so the Hall of Fame Advisory Board can send in their candidates for the 2012 AFL Hall of Fame class, and all those. It's the players that haven't played. It's for three seasons they must be retired. So it's for those players that last season was in 2008. So there's a lot of guys on that list. And it should be an interesting one. Last year we brought in 10. This year we're set to bring in 5.
Right.
We'll see.
Of 10 finalists, narrow it down to 5.
10 finalists. So
which will be tough because you know so many guys come to mind when you think guys that ended their career in 2008 or slightly before, who probably deserve Hall of Fame recognition. Thinking a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of receivers, a lot of good football players that could come up.
So we have Snoop Dogg and Bob McMillan hanging out last night.
We did. No truth to the rumors that they were sipping on gin and juice.
No, they I don't know.
To that.
But you know what? We have another rapper that's getting involved in the AFL next weekend. Fat Joe is performing live at a Philadelphia Soul game, and he's going to do a 30-minute set for the fans.
Oh. I'm not familiar with his set list, but sure, it'll be entertaining.
Get your
tickets now.
I thought I saw you. I walked into your room one day, and you were doing the Rockaway. You were pulling up your pants, and you were doing the Rockaway and leaning back.
I don't think that ever happened.
I don't know, but I let's go to the game.
He's your guy, yeah.
Yeah, we could do the Rockaway in Philadelphia with Doug Plank.
Love Philly.
Doug Plank. You think Doug Plank is going to do the Rockaway? Is going to do the Rockaway?
I don't see it in his personality to do the Rockaway, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
When Fat Joe starts his 30-minute set, I have a feeling that whole arena is going to be doing the Rockaway.
Well, we'll find out next week.
And, you know, we had a good time on today's show.
We did.
It was a good it's good to get the Ustream viewers involved with our podcast that we've been doing on a weekly basis. And we encourage you to join in next week. It's going to be next Friday night, next Friday afternoon at 2:30, just around the same time. So we're going to be podcasting on Blog Talk Radio. We'll make sure we get you that link. We're also going to be simulcasting straight from the Arena Football League office. And, you know, with two games in our area next week, I hear a pregame show coming, a pregame, all-out pregame show coming in the next week or so.
I could see that happening.
I could see that happening as well. Arena Football Nation, thank you for joining us for Week 12 of the Arena Football League. We wish you a very happy and healthy Memorial Day weekend.